Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
Do you have any, is there any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
On your home for the Aggies, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You can also hear us really well at 97.9 HD2. So listen up that way when you're listening to your Aggie game on Saturday against Notre Dame. Coach Mike Elko joining us here for the first time as the head coach of the Aggies. Coach, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm great. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Coach, it is, man, boy, you walk into it, huh? I mean, it sure would be nice. Sometimes it's nice to start a season with a little bit easier game than Notre Dame. But on the other side of that coin is that your guys know that carrot ahead of them, that first game. Boy, we better be ready because we got Notre Dame that first game.
Yeah, for sure. I think for the last 8 months, anytime anyone has relaxed in this building, we've been able to point to this opener as kind of a way to refocus everybody. And so it's finally here. It's finally upon us. And, you know, we're chomping at the bit to get out there Saturday night and get this thing kicked off.
Coach, I'm curious. One of the things that people are pointing out is the youth of Notre Dame's offensive line. They've got a very young offensive line in terms of starting experience. And you know, A&M, it was just 3 years ago, your guys were, I think, one of the finalists for the Joe Moore Awards, which I'm on the selection committee, and I thought, I voted them second. They finished third. I voted them second. I thought A&M played great on the O-line. You talk about, you're a defensive coach by nature. Can you talk about the idea of getting Aggie football back to really dominating in the trenches?
Yeah, I think in this conference, what you do on the line of scrimmage is critical. And I think controlling both sides of the line of scrimmage, your ability to control the offensive line, be able to put yourself in really good positions down and distance-wise, protect your quarterback, keep him healthy. You know, obviously that's been something we haven't been able to do the right way the last few years. And, you know, and then obviously on the defensive line, to be able to not only stop the run but affect the quarterback in a lot of different ways, pressures, disruptions. You know, I think the line of scrimmage determines success in this conference nowadays more than ever.
Mike Elko, head coach, Aggies with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coach, walking out for the first time, you've been there, you've done that, you've seen this crowd, you know how much they love that Aggie football, 100,000 strong. But as the head coach, is a little bit of butterflies this week?
Yeah, I don't know about butterflies. I think as you go through the week, you're trying to make sure that you're covering everything that you could possibly cover to give your kids the best opportunity to have success. And I think that's probably what keeps me up at night right now. And then, you know, we'll go into the weekend and things will start moving quick. I'm sure there'll be a moment when you stand at the top of the tunnel following the drummers down onto Kyle Field for the first time where you'll take it in for a minute. But, you know, really it's about making sure that we're putting these kids in the best position to be successful and kind of get the reward they've been hoping for all the work they put in since we got here 8 months ago.
You know, I'm not trying to ask you a leading question at all, but I'm genuinely curious how much you can take from your background with Riley Leonard, the new quarterback at Notre Dame, who had been at Duke, very talented, dealt with injuries last year, which is unfortunate. But how, you know, you've been with Riley Leonard, you know him a little bit. Does that help you going in from a study standpoint, or is it you just hit reset because he's in a new offense and it doesn't matter?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously there's some familiarity with him and who he is as a quarterback. But I think, you know, I said this in the press conference earlier this week, I think there's more of an advantage that he has having practiced against this defense every day for 2 years. And so usually when we go into a game, you know, we're going against a quarterback who's only seen our defensive system and structure on film. You know, maybe if he was lucky, he played against it 1 year ago. You know, we're going to go against a guy who's got 45, 50 practices going every day against this structure. And so, yeah, I think the advantage goes both ways, to be honest with you.
What a scheduling oddity, though, huh, Coach?
Yeah, it's the new world of college football, right? That a year ago this time, him and I were getting ready to go on a national stage together to play Clemson, and now all of a sudden him and I are going on a national stage to play against each other at two different schools. And so your college football has certainly changed a lot in the last few years.
How big a loss is Reuben Owens?
Yeah, I mean, Reuben's a great player, and you know, he put in an unbelievable amount of work this offseason, and so, you know, I hurt for him because I know he wanted to go out there and really show everybody what he's done and what he's capable of. Unfortunately, he's not able to go, but we're also really confident in the group that we have, and I think Le'Veon Moss is primed to step into a really strong role this year and kind of be our featured back, and then Amari Daniels and E.J. Smith will certainly be there to complement him.
Connor Wegman, coming off injury. New offense now, and you're
there's a lot of excitement around him. People are jacked about Connor.
In rankings, and Coach, you don't look at the rankings like we do of media people of what Connor means, but Connor's up there as far as he gets a lot of respect around the country as far as his quarterback play goes. How about adapting to this offense, and what did you think this preseason with him?
Yeah, I think Connor's had a great summer and a great fall camp. I think he's healthy now, which was big for him. I think he's getting more and more comfortable in the system, and we're getting more and more comfortable with who he is and what he's capable of. And so I think, you know, probably over the last 3-4 weeks, we've kind of settled into a really good rhythm with him in terms of, you know, what does play calling look like with a healthy Connor Wegman as your quarterback, and what are the things that you can do to put him in the best position to be successful. And, you know, Connor's a kid I've got a ton of confidence in. Actually, I've known him since I was here last time as the defensive coordinator. Him and my son played baseball in the same organization going back 5-6 years ago. And so I was down in Bridgeland when he was in high school. I'm just excited to see him healthy leading this Aggie offense this year.
Yeah, he's a hell of an athlete, hell of an athlete. So nothing against, and you know, I saw your quotes about the facilities, Coach. Nothing against Duke or anything else, but you're in a place now, it's got to be awfully nice to wake up every morning and go to these facilities and have everything that you could possibly need.
Yeah, I think as a coach, what you want is you want to get to a place where you know there's no ceiling on your success. And I think with everything that Texas A&M has done to invest in football over the last, you know, specifically 12, 13 years since we joined the SEC and even beyond that, but, you know, specifically in the recent time, I think what you look at is a program that is primed to be everything we make it. And now it's our job to come in here and, you know, fill these facilities with the right people, the right leadership, the right vision, the right plan, so that ultimately Texas A&M football gets where it belongs, which is at the top of college football across the country.
Advantage for you, having been there before, Coach, that knowing where everything was as opposed to going to a new place like you did when you went to Duke?
Well, it was certainly an advantage on my first day when I knew how to get into the building and into my office. But I think having some familiarity with what Texas A&M is, with our traditions, with our university, with the area, with the state of Texas, I think coming in with those 4 years of experience here, I think kind of helped me formulate a plan of what we needed to do to get this program going really quickly. And so, I think we had a real good idea of what we had to do, where we had to enhance, where we had to keep doing some of the things that we were doing well, and I think we went out and we did that.
Boy, it is a portal fest on your roster, and you guys are one of the best in college football at portaling in players this year, and they're going to be in primary roles too. I mean, you got a lot of guys, most notably your big defensive end, the bully out of Purdue, Nick Scorton. Can you talk about him and anybody else you want to mention that may play very prominent roles coming in that will be new to Aggie fans?
Yeah, I think nowadays there's a lot of different ways to acquire talent, and we're always going to focus on high school. I think when you're in the state of Texas and you have such proud high school football tradition, it's important that you start recruiting high school in the state of Texas. But I think as you get into, you know, looking at what your roster is going to look like in the immediacy, I think there's some areas you can go out and improve. And I think this offseason, with all of the turnover, with the head coaching change, you know, maybe we were forced to do that a little bit more than you ordinarily would want to. But I think, obviously, Nick Skirton's the headliner, and I think he's going to play a huge role for us. We were able to add a couple guys on the offensive line, and they're going to step in and play big roles, especially our Majay Reed Adams. And we did a lot in the secondary, and I think you're going to see a transfer-heavy group back there in the secondary. And then just a lot of guys that have played a lot of really good football across the country that we were able to add onto this roster. And so it'll be fun watching that all come together Saturday.
You mentioned Reed Adams. He was part of an offensive line that I think Lance Leopold has done a terrific job over there at Kansas. And what he's done up front in getting the most out of those offensive linemen and the most out of that, because they throw the ball, but they'll run the ball too. I mean, they're pretty balanced. And I think that's a really good get for you over there, talking about Reed Adams coming from. You got your center comes over from Utah, your right guard comes from. And then you got a tight end in Trey Watson coming over from Fresno State. I cannot stress how different the Aggie team is going to look on the field for Aggie fans this year. Aggie fans already know you're keeping up with it every day, but this is going to be fun to see how everyone connects together. Is that a concern for you since there are so many new faces, and is continuity an issue, or have you been able to work that out through practices?
No, I don't know that it's continuity. I feel good about that part. I think obviously I would love for every starter that we're rolling out there Saturday night to have started a game in Kyle Field previously, so that they know what it's like, they know what the atmosphere is like, and there's nothing they're going through for the first time. I think that's probably the biggest thing, is just getting through that initial feeling of running onto Kyle and doing that. You know, Nick Skirton, you mentioned as a defensive end, you know, Nick's played a lot of college football. He's played it really well. I have all the confidence in the world he's going to have a great game Saturday night, but he's still going to run onto Kyle Field for the first time,
right,
and have to kind of get through the emotion and feeling of that, right? And so that's probably the biggest hurdle that I want to get through. I think once we settle in, then it's just football. And I think from a continuity standpoint, we've done a lot to put him in position to be successful.
I want to give a shout out to a guy who was hidden under Jimbo, but I think intentionally, because Jimbo knows how talented he is. I got a chance to meet him. Your analytics director, I think, is brilliant. I think Craddock is a brilliant. I just want to give him a quick shout out, because you got a guy there who I think is just one of the sharper guys in college football. And I know you know him from when you were there previously. You come back from Duke, and he's there again. And I wanted to give you a chance if you wanted to mention anything about him. I think it's one of the hidden things that's really important in college football nowadays, is sports science and analytics is becoming a much, much bigger deal.
Yeah, for sure. I think Craddock does a phenomenal job. And the way we've been able to integrate sports science into our off-season programming, with Coach Tommy Moffitt being added from LSU too, I think we are training our kids at an elite level. And that's not just making sure that they're protected and safe. It's also making sure that we're improving and enhancing who they are as players. And so I think we're doing a sports science at an elite level. I think recruits come in here and they sit down through some of the presentations that Tommy does, that Craddock does, and I think they're recognizing, wow, my path to becoming a first-round draft pick is really going to happen at A&M.
You know Tommy Moffitt. You've heard of Tommy Moffitt,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's my brother. He was the strength coach for JT Curtis. My brother played at John Curtis in Louisiana. Tommy was there. Tommy Moffitt is the epitome of what a strength coach looks like and what he is. Tommy Moffitt is all strength coach. Let me tell you something.
And they're
That's
nuts.
That's a great game.
And for the most part,
they're
strength
nuts.
Coach.
Yeah, they're a little off.
They're nuts.
But they're, they really are. Yeah. Ben Herbst, who went over to the from Michigan over to, they're all different, but you got a really good one with Tommy Moffitt. That's a really good get, Coach.
And that's kind of a big deal, kind of important, because they've got their hands on the kids
really.
The most.
There's a reason strength coaches are getting paid now.
That's right.
They're
that's
really important.
Yeah, no doubt. That was a critical hire for us, going out and getting him, and his resume speaks for itself.
Yeah. We'll let you go, Coach, because we know you're busy, but we really, really appreciate it. We wish you had all season long, but this was nice to spend time with you here, Coach, and if we can do it again anytime throughout the season, we'd really like it. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate you guys having me on. We'll talk again soon.
Yeah, right, Coach, thanks.
There's Mike Elko, head coach of your Ags, taking on Notre Dame on Saturday, 6 o'clock, Kyle Field. Yeah, it's going to be a little bit different for the guy from Kansas or Fresno running onto the Aggie field at Aggieland.
Even Purdue.
Yeah.
I mean, he played at Michigan, so he played, but These are people cheering for you.
Yeah, right.
You didn't have this many people cheering for you at Purdue. Yeah. You had them cheering at Ohio State for the other team.
Yeah. Iowa, Michigan. Iowa was good. They had
Iowa fans good?
Iowa fans are really
Nebraska
good.
Still there, show up. Maybe not as much Purdue.
No, Purdue not so much.
Indiana not a big. Mm. But, yeah, you go to
Fresno.
You go to Kyle Field. Kyle Field's as good as I've seen. I mean, LSU night game's really good. Kyle Field's always great. I mean, the Aggie fans are – it's. I truly believe that Texas and Texas A&M are probably now, with the age of NIL, two of the top six jobs in college football, because so much of it now is how much money do you have?
Yeah.
I mean, really, unfortunately
– those two are 1 and 2.
They're loaded.
Yeah.
They're loaded. The facilities, the state of Texas to recruit to, and those are all major, major elements. It's easy to get into those areas from a flight. I say easy, I mean – it's an hour and a half drive. You fly into Houston, you drive there. Yeah. That's not bad.
Right. So I'm going to tell you this. The HRNP is here. Chris Fisher, he loves his Aggies. He probably listened to that conversation right there, and he's just, I mean, he's near euphoria right now, okay? And because them Aggies are taking on Notre Dame, Chris has got – Aggies talking about HRP right here on our air. They promote it. They love it. Mike Holley's a Coug. But it doesn't matter what college you went to. If you're looking for the best way to get your HR and your payroll to your people, it's HRP. Look, right now, your business, I don't know where you're at. If you're growing right now, if you've got 15, 20, 25 employees, all of a sudden, you're getting into a neighborhood that you don't know. Okay, you're getting into a neighborhood of payroll that you're starting to expand your payroll department, which is not the way to go about this thing. The way to go about this thing is get people who are experts at it. Let them do it. Okay, let them take care of your HR. Keep your payroll department at a minimum. We've had 75 employees here. We got one person in our payroll department. That's Laura, and the job is easy. The job is wonderful. Well, I don't want to say her job is easy. All I'm saying is that they can't make it any easier at HRP. And then the tax time, Matt, you got Affordable Care Act experts taking care of your stuff for you when you don't know anything about this stuff. You sell your widgets and let HRP take care of the rest. All you need is HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Good conversation with Mike Elko. He's a good coach. It'll be interesting to see where the Aggies. The Aggies are a bubble team, right? Okay, who you got? Who you got, Lance?
They're already a bubble team. We haven't started.
Who you got winning the conferences?
Oh, we'll have to save
for
tomorrow.
If you don't have them winning the conference, they're a bubble team.
We have to save for tomorrow. I have Texas winning the conference.
You do?
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, I have Texas and, well, okay, winning the conference. I got to think about that, winning the conference. I think Texas is in, and I think Georgia's in. I'm not sure on Alabama.
I wouldn't sleep on Alabama. I would not.
No, I'm not sure on Alabama.
Taylor DeBoer is a good coach.
Yeah, he is. Kalen DeBoer is one of the best coaches.
Yes.
Have you seen his recruiting classes? They're incredible. You know, Alec was up from 2 to 5 in the morning yesterday, day before yesterday, working on cut-ups. He's like grinding like a mother. I said, you better be getting your grades too, since you're on a scholarship.
Yeah.
We don't need you working for, you know, I appreciate him working for free. I don't have a problem with that. That's how you get your foot in the door over there. But hey, let's make sure that GPA stays high. He goes, I know. But he's one of the guys he works with has COVID. And so Alec's trying to do all the work. And I'm like, because he screwed up the other day and he got in when he was supposed to start. He was just getting into the office. He mistimed how far it was from where he lives now. And he's like, and the guy chewed on him. Hey, you can't be coming in here. He goes, 2 minutes later, they found a mistake in one of my cut-ups. And it was the worst. He's like, the guy told me, you got to be better than this. And because Alec's been working. He's been doing a great job. He goes, after that, you know, he had to get in at 9:20. He said, I show up at 8 o'clock every morning now. He gets in an hour and 20 minutes early. He has this huge fear of failure. And so he's like up at 5 in the morning. He was coming back from Alabama at 5 in the morning after doing cut-ups all night. And I'm like, well, I mean, I'm glad you're motivated. Fear is a great motivator
when
you're young.
It really is.
When you're young. Now, for you, when you were young and doing TV and you told that guy to go F himself? Or
no.
What did you tell him?
No, I was.
In Arizona?
Not in Arizona. I didn't do that. It was Green Bay.
What did you tell him?
I told him, never mind. We don't have to get into this
yes,
again.
Yes, tell me what you told him.
I just told him he was an a-hole, that's all. And you know what? I wasn't young anymore. I'd been in the business for a while.
Abigail can't believe you.
What?
I can't believe that you told him he was...
You were not in a position of power.
I'm not a great employee, Abigail. Let's just put it that way.
He threatened one of our bosses he would kick his ass. It was at a previous radio
station.
Not
the best employee, Abigail, just so you
know. Did you get fired?
I did not get fired.
No, he had too many commercial spots.
I guess it worked.
Yeah.
That's the thing, Abigail. Once you have enough advertisers.
You can do anything.
You can do almost anything.
If you don't.
Almost anything.
Don't rock the boat, okay?
Now, we don't want you to do it, but don't get a What Would John Do bracelet.
That's going to be a segment, I feel like, in the years to come.
Yeah, it will be. Don't do
anything I did.
Yeah, don't do anything.
Do it differently, Abigail. Do it differently. What a week we got. So you don't even want to. You don't know who's going to win the SEC. It's going to be Georgia. Georgia's going to win the SEC.
Probably Georgia, but I mean, you know, they didn't last year.
Yeah, they lost to Alabama.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of like. How many guys they've lost again off the defense, and I'm not really sure it matters anymore.
I think Texas is going to be a bubble team. Well, I think they're probably going to get in. They're going to be a playoff team.
Yeah, I don't think they're
bubble. Aggies are a bubble team.
I think
they've got a tough schedule.
I mean, John, I showed you how many transfers they have.
I know.
Here's how many portal guys they have A&M has starting right now. I showed John this. It's like staggering. Here. I think it's 9 starters who came from the portal. And across the roster, I think there's over 20 players who are from other schools. Like, I don't know what
to
expect.
Why not use it? Especially, like he said, in his first year when he wasn't in all of these Texas high schools already and didn't have an edge on young players. Plus, you can plug and play now, these portal kids.
No, you have to because Jimbo, they lost – you know, you lose some of the recruiting class once Jimbo leaves. Some of it that were locked in, you're going to lose. So he portaled guys in. But remember, Elko's got a background with A&M previously.
Yeah.
So he's not starting from scratch. But one thing I would say, Florida State has 3 talented defensive linemen from the portal from Miami, Alabama, and Georgia. And they got whipped up front. And I don't think it's – and I think if you just think Florida that if you just think portal guys immediately make the difference, I think they need time. Now, I think they'll eventually be good, really good. But Florida State, it's early. These portal guys are in a new situation. Like you got to watch that when you have a bunch of them because Florida State's portal guys didn't like it too much against a Georgia Tech team that was established and solidified with their offensive line up front. They ran a ball on them. So, but the flip side of that coin is, man, look how many teams have portal guys in and had tremendous success.
It's all
up to your quarterback.
Who you got in the Big Ten, Oregon or Ohio State?
Ohio State. I got them win a national championship. Ohio State, Oregon will be there. Michigan, I just think, is going to fall off this
year. I'm a big Will Howard fan, but Dylan Gabriel's good. A lot of people are high on Oregon this year.
I think they're both good
college really high on Oregon that they're going to get there. But I think Ohio State is going to – they're really talented. I like Ohio State. Who you got in the Big 12?
Man, I mean, you lost your 2 hammers. I haven't even thought about it up to this point.
I got Utah.
They're the consistent. I mean, they're well coached. They know what they are and they do what they do.
Yeah.
I don't think that's bad. I'm also curious. I need to see how Baylor checks in. There were some moments I really liked Baylor last year and thought they were very competitive. I want to see how they do, how Dave Aranda does this year. I think he could be a sneaky team over there.
Yeah.
You know, I think Kansas is probably a team to really watch.
Well, but Daniels doesn't stay healthy.
Well, if he does, though.
Bean actually outplayed him last year.
Well, you got Ballard's son backing up.
Yeah.
Cole Ballard, he ended up getting 3 starts.
Oh, yeah.
Last year, yeah, they lost Jason Bean. But, yeah, their whole thing is if their quarterback's healthy.
Yeah.
He's a little fellow, though.
Yeah. We'll see. But I'm going to tell you this. I heard through the grapevine. TCU is extremely talented.
Oh, really?
Reloaded and is extremely talented.
Doesn't surprise me.
It
feels like it's up for grabs.
Uh-huh. But, yeah, I got to go with Whittingham. I mean, he is such a good coach. I don't know that there's a better coach in the Big 12.
No. He's one of the top.
He's top in the country.
I mean, he's top eight. He's top five, top six coaches in the country. Yeah. He always. You know why? Because this is what Utah football. And this is why sometimes it's good getting in a spot like Utah. Because you have greater. You can control from Utah. This is who we are. We don't have the pressure of recruiting California. Well, they do, but they get a lot of Polynesian players. But they recruit California, actually. But they can recruit from everywhere. They don't have a great base in Utah. It's okay. But what they are is that this is who we are on offense. This is who we are on defense. We're going to get the same type of thick-ankled Polynesian guards that come in here. We're going to get tackles who are okay, you know, borderline pros here and there. And we get tough, physical, Cam Riser, you know, hard-nosed quarterbacks in here. And that's what Chris Peterson used to have at Boise State. And he brought that same mentality to Washington when he was there. But, yeah, there's something to be said about playing in kind of a mid to upper major school like that. Like, that's what Lance Leipold might be. They just don't have as much recruiting, you know, as much of a recruiting base. But you might be able to stay at Kansas and be a really good coach for a long time once you get it where you want it to be. I think if he wanted to, what's his name? At Nebraska now, Matt Rhule could have done that at Baylor.
Yeah.
He could have just sat at Baylor and just done the Baylor way forever if he wanted to. But he had ambitions.
And he walked into a hard place because Nebraska doesn't have any talent. So you got to recruit nationally, and they're not a national power. They're not a national name. But they got facilities now. Nebraska's going to be heard from with
now, Matt Rhule did it at Temple. He quickly built it at Baylor.
He's got a quarterback now he didn't have before in Dillon.
Yeah, he's got a chance to be special,
and another
too.
Quarterback that you're going to have to look at, Noah Fifita out of Arizona.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about him.
Yeah, a lot of talk. So Arizona might have something to say about the Big 12 as well.
I forgot. Arizona's in a Big 12.
Arizona's a Big 12 team. And of course it is.
You know, I think the two teams I like most in Big 12 are going to be Arizona and Utah.
Yeah, it makes sense. Makes perfect sense, right?
Yeah.
Time for me to talk about, and I saw him yesterday. I saw Matt Hogue yesterday, and he was working out some stuff with his general manager over there. And I saw him over at Damaris, as a matter of fact. He did Johnny Damaris' backyard, and he put in a perfect, perfect putting green for him. And Yanni called me and said, "Hey, Matt wants to talk about doing some advertising," and I've dubbed them the exterior decorators, because it's more than just, okay, we're not going to just cut the grass, we're not just going to put some rocks in. What we're going to do is, how about we put in a fire pit? How about we put in an entire outdoor kitchen with the stone and the beautiful, and how about we put in a swimming pool? He told me. He did but this is a huge acres of backyard. But he did a backyard with basically an entire golf course putting green and pickleball courts and tennis courts and all in one backyard, swimming pool, everything. Now, this is not just let's throw a pool in. This is, we're really, really going to make this backyard something that's special. So if you're looking for someone that this is what they do, okay, exterior designers to make your backyard a destination backyard where you are proud, you have parties and you have entertain, and this is what HogueLS.com is here for. Hogue Landscape Services, HogueLS.com. They are going to make your backyard something special. HogueLS.com, HogueLS.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97. You might. That might be a make good.
There's some confusion.
There might be a make good there.
There's some confusion afoot.
So you still have a Gulf Coast Chevy spot that he has to do, Abigail, yeah. Just so you know.
We've had some confusion on the show today.
Well, yeah, a little. The Gulf Coast Chevy, Craig Desert.
They did tell me the medicine
I should have said Craig
took yesterday was going to last for about 24. I kept tasting something. I was like, something tastes like metallic. Oh, yeah, that's the stuff you had. Yeah, I'll be with you for a little bit. Like, I don't want that.
Yeah. Justin Steele was told to go. Did you see? There was a lot of stuff happened yesterday. Apparently, Blanco gets suspended for 6 games while the umpire, go wash your hands. There's some 60 stuff on it, Edwin D. Okay. What? I mean, the Justin Steele. Go just wash your hand.
Yeah, I don't get the inconsistency. They must have really thought that whatever Ronel Blanco did must have really been bad. Because how is he getting treated different than pretty much every pitcher?
Edwin Diaz got tossed immediately too. So, I mean, it's just there's no concern that Major League Baseball. You
so
suck.
Who are the players?
Major League Baseball sucks.
Let me ask you, who are the players who didn't get tossed?
The players, Justin Steele.
Okay,
a couple of Yankees didn't get tossed.
So are they all Latin American pitchers? Are they only throwing out the Latin American pitchers?
Racist.
Maybe we need to take a look at maybe Angel Hernandez wasn't wrong.
Maybe they are racist.
Or maybe Angel Hernandez is bad at umpiring.
Did you see Amazon has given the Kelsey brothers $100 million to do their podcast there?
Makes me sad. I don't cheer. I pray on their downfall.
What?
I just don't want to see people do better than me.
Well,
I'm going to prey on people's downfall from now on.
A hundy.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100 million.
Oh, probably. Yeah. Travis Kelce's going to keep playing football. You guys are stupid if you think this isn't his last year. Chiefs fans try to come after me for that. I'm like, dude, he's done. He keeps getting hurt. He's starting to dwindle. He's got Taylor Swift now.
Yeah.
And he's going to have this deal. Like, he and his brother were going to step into a bunch of money. It was just a matter of where. Why? So he can make.
Why is he playing?
He's going to make the same money not playing.
Yeah. I mean, or
give
more.
Give me the same money to
Taylor
not
Swift
do radio.
Money now.
Yeah. Give me. Well, do you have Wendy money?
Yeah, half.
If you leave her.
No, she leaves me. That's what?
Do you have her? Okay, so if you're together with her, do you get half?
No, I don't get
okay,
it.
So he doesn't have Taylor Swift money.
No, but.
He doesn't need Taylor Swift money. Now he can make her pick up the dinner tab.
Yeah.
If he's running short, because he's running low.
Yeah, I'm hoping he doesn't run low what with his $100 million contract.
You don't get paychecks. Remember, the NFL player, how hard would that be for you?
To go from...
You don't get a paycheck for like seven months.
Right? Oh, no, it'd be impossible.
You don't get a paycheck for 7 months. Yeah. Did you know that, young Abigail? NFL players only get paid during the season after their, you know, for their games. That's it. Once they hit February, most of February, March, April, May, June, July, they are screwed. No game checks.
I did not know that.
I think a lot of people don't know that. I would be screwed too. Every month that you get paid, you have to act like it's 2 months of pay.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You have to. No, you got to be. You really have to be. And which is why a lot of guys go broke. Which is why a lot of guys just, because that big check comes in and let's go. And then it gets to the offseason. Oh, wait. And oh, by the way, oh, you're not making the team this year. Oh, my God. You know.
Yeah. I've been spending everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about Lewis Cine out of first round pick 2 years ago out of Minnesota was cut? Had a hard time staying on the field. Man. Every year I look at the cut list because I want to see guys that I predicted. You know, it really hammers home how short an NFL career is for most players.
How about the NFL 2022 NFL draft, quarterback draft? 2022, just 2 years ago.
That's Malik Willis traded.
Okay. Name how many guys drafted, quarterbacks drafted.
Matt Corral is out of the league.
Are still with their teams.
Okay. Well, not Kenny Pickett, not Malik Willis. Matt Corral got cut. Can you name
the two guys?
Davis Mills is one. Was he 21?
Davis Mills was not. He was, he's 21.
No, this is his fourth year? He was 21 for sure? No, he was. Davis Mills was Brevin Jordan and Davis Mills.
Yeah, Davis Mills had 2 years, and then last year he sat. He had 2 years to play.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So this is his fourth year. Yeah, so he would have been 21. No. Yes, 22, 23. Yes, 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 yes.
There were nine quarterbacks.
Who else are the quarterbacks? Oh, Desmond Ridder is cut. He's out of football. He was in that draft. So it was Matt Corral, Desmond Ridder.
How about that?
Malik Willis, Kenny Pickett. There was a fifth quarterback in there who was considered. There were like five of them.
Here's the list. Here's the list. Malik Willis was the first one drafted.
He's no longer with it.
He was traded. Kenny Pickett.
Do you remember where
Eagles.
He is?
Yep. He's with the Eagles. Sam Howell.
He's still there.
No.
Wait.
Sam Howell's gone. He's gone.
Oh, no. He's
with Seattle now.
Oh, yeah. You're right. He's in Seattle.
Yeah. Desmond Ridder cut. Matt Corral out of the league. Chris Oladokun.
He was Pittsburgh. Is he still there?
He's not still there.
Okay.
Bailey Zappi.
Is he still in New England?
No.
Okay.
He's not in New England. The only two left, Brock Purdy.
Huh? Yeah.
And Skylar Thompson.
Wow, seventh rounders.
Yes.
Are the only two left?
The only two left.
Wow, yeah, what a...
That's how bad that draft was. Ooh. But it was bad. It was bad anyway.
We knew it was bad. But, you know, it's amazing how many people get fooled by these. Malik throws some trick shots and people are like, oh my God, this is generational arm talent. Like... can't play. I thought Matt Corral was going to be the best quarterback of all of them. He had issues, too many issues to break through. And I'll just leave it at that. Desmond Ridder, you know, he was wildly, there's a lot of things you like about him, but he came on late. Like he became, anytime guys come on late, like Kenny Pickett, you wonder like, hey, where was this? Why did it just happen in 1 year? Yep. What a bad quarterback draft. And look at 2021. I mean, Mac Jones, Justin Fields, Trey Lance. Like, that's two straight years. Trevor Lawrence. You've only got – that's two straight years of bad quarterback
draft. How about that Clayton Toon beat him out? Desmond Ridder.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, they traded for Desmond Ridder. Arizona traded for Desmond Ridder. And then they're like, Toon's better.
Yeah. How about that?
Desmond Ridder played in the college playoffs against Alabama.
Yeah. And then gets cut.
But pro football is a different sport.
Yeah, it is. It's totally different. And big ups to Clayton Toon for getting that done. Clayton Toon, who I'm turned his career around. I was telling Dan, Clayton Toon's killing you. He's killing you. He's young. Shut up. He's going to be really good. And then he was really good.
I can't believe. Were you drinking when you were yelling? Well, you were accurate.
I was accurate.
You were accurate.
Now, was he killing him at the time? He was killing him at the time. I'm going to be honest with him. But then Clayton Toon turned it around, and he was really good for him his penultimate year there. And then he was just okay his last year. But he was really, really good that 1 year where they won the conference. So, but Clayton Toon being a pro, nicely done, Clayton Toon. Congratulations. Because when they trade for Desmond Ridder, a backup quarterback, you figure, well, I guess that might be it for Clayton. He worked his ass off, and he's there. Good for him. God bless. And speaking of which, I got to remind you that, you know, University of Houston, come on, let's get on out there. We're going to be giving away the tickets when? 9:40 today? In an hour. And an hour from now, we got tickets to give away. But I also want to tell you that University of Houston football is starting up this Saturday, 6 o'clock. You're looking for a great place to go. And listen, talk about an affordable deal. Tickets starting at just $15. Now, you can wait and get them here, but $15? Really? $15. Take the family. Do you want to go out to a game? They want to enjoy the football season? You know how expensive it is to get to a pro football game? It's expensive now, okay? And everything. Well, everything at TDECU Stadium is less. You're just going to spend less, and you're going to get the entertainment value. Listen, this is a tough game, too. UNLV, they're only, I think, the Cougs are 2.5-point favorites right now. It's this Saturday, August 31st, 6 p.m., TDECU Stadium. Hopefully, it's the first game for Willie Fritz, his first game as coach. We'll see what they're doing differently. It's a new era of Houston Cougar football. Let's go. Tickets start at just $15. Go to uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS right now to get your tickets. 713-GO-COUGS, uhcougars.com/tickets. Come early. Be loud. We're red.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So you asked, we had Mike Elko and Lance pointed out Nick Skirton, who transferred from Purdue over to Texas A&M. Well, Nick... Bruce Feldman and a couple other guys. Actually, our guy, our good friend to the show, Sam Kahn Jr. and Manny Navarro.
Is he
Navarro.
Our good friend?
He is. Well, he's a friend of mine, not yours.
Okay.
Maybe. But they rated the best transfer portal players. Caleb Downs of Alabama, the defensive back, is number one. Dylan Gabriel's number two. And Nick Skirton's number three. Number four was Cam Ward.
Yeah, Skirton is going to be the guy.
Skirton, he said filthy. He's filthy. Yeah. 10 sacks last year.
Yeah, he's a
Big
powerhouse.
10 best.
He's a very physical player in the mold of George Karloftis. I mean, they like having those power guys. He's 285 pounds, like 6'4". He's a big bully off the edge. So that's a good get for the Aggies. They had Clemens a couple years ago who had some physicality, but Skirton's a better player. So it'll it's a really good get.
I want you to say that to his face.
No, I would never say that to Michael Clemens. Is one of the meanest, toughest people on the planet.
Yeah,
like, he knocked out teammates at A&M, and he had a. No, I don't want to say too much of Michael Clemens' business. Actually, let's just say that I was told by somebody with the Jets that he offered early on to be the enforcer with the Jets as a rookie. To his defensive line coach, if anything needs to get settled or handled, he'll be more than happy to handle things. And the D-line coach was like, okay, noted.
Anything that needs to be settled, you tell me.
Anything. He said, I got this rookie class. He goes, don't worry about that. He goes, I'll make sure everything works right with the rookies. So he's like, okay.
Huh? Coming up in 9 minutes, Josh Pate. We'll talk some college football with him. Excited about this college football. This is the most exciting college football season in a while. So let's just talk a little Astros baseball. We got our ace, Spencer Arrighetti, on the mound today against some schlub. So the Astros get out of there with a 3-4 road trip. Not what I was expecting, but they gave away a couple of games in Baltimore. They didn't give away any games here. They got slapped around in game one. Or they got beat 3-2 in game one, and they got slapped around last night. They weren't scoring any runs off Nola. Zach Wheeler and Nola. Now listen, Nola in the regular season against the Astros is spectacular. In the World Series, not so much. Beat the snot out of them in the World Series. So that was the important one. The Astros are going to be able to bounce back from this 3.5 game lead over the Mariners. Not worried about that. Cleveland in a bit of a spiral right now. Kansas City has taken over. Well, they're tied for first place right now in the American League Central. And then you get out of here and you come back here. This is such a – the schedule maker was just pissed at the Astros for some reason. But they went 18 straight on a road trip with Baltimore and Philadelphia and then back home with Kansas City. Now, I don't know that anybody expected Kansas City to be this good, but they're good. That's a good baseball team. They are actually a couple of games ahead of the Astros right now in the race for the American League for not playing in the postseason, getting a bye in the postseason, not playing in the wild card round. So the Astros, that's a big series coming up there too, with 18 in the midst of 18 straight games. You certainly could use a break. Find out whether or not Jason Hayward, I think, gives a little spark to the team. I think Jason Hayward
could be.
is going to be nice. It'll be nice to have his defense at least in right field. Fromber will be happy about that.
Yeah.
The Astros need a little boost with this offense. When you look at Philadelphia's offense, I think I don't know. That is a lineup up and down. That reminds me a little bit of the Astros 2022 is up and down in that order. Holy crap. It is really, really good with Bryce Harper in the middle of it and Baum and Castellanos. And JT Realmuto hit seventh for this team. What the bleep?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just that's
we're
terrible.
Used to our lineup looking the best.
Yes. And it's not the case. It's not the case anymore. But
well, we don't have a right fielder anymore.
Right. It would sure would be nice to get
September
a right fielder.
9th, he said, or just early September?
First week of September.
I keep thinking September 9th. I think I had a dream about that. Kyle Tucker was still alive and still a viable baseball option this year.
That sure would be nice. Sure would be nice if Kyle Tucker was alive and a viable baseball option. But that's what the word from Dana. And you know what? Dana never lies about injuries with the Astros. They're always accurate.
Well, I don't think he lied.
Well,
what he's, I don't think he's
that's
lied.
That's what I said. He doesn't lie.
Name one time when he's been inaccurate.
They are,
well,
they're always inaccurate.
Well, about yeah. About they would give timelines. I think that's why they don't like giving timelines, especially on arms. Not that Kyle Tucker's an arm, but on arms, you thought, you know, Luis Garcia. Remember, Luis Garcia did pitch in a minor league. Remember, he pitched and he wasn't good. He struggled. Then they said he had a setback, and then you're done. Lance McCullers never got off the French press to even come and
that guy never got off life support.
Never got off the French press where you press down for your coffee.
Mm-hmm.
He never even got off the French press.
Wow.
Machine.
We're gonna make a coffee reference every time we talk about Lance McCullers.
I can tell you this. I don't know if he's pitching next year, but I know Maven Coffee is gonna be rolling.
It's really good though. I've tried it.
It's
you
good.
Tried it?
Yeah, and
Maven's good.
Good.
You know, why is it good?
Well, I mean, I worked at a coffee shop, and they like roast their beans and stuff, and yeah. I really like it.
Abigail knows your cowboy coffee is. I'm sure it's good too. Your Yellowstone coffee or whatever.
My Yellowstone is great,
but they're not advertising now.
No, they're Either not. But Maven, it's still good. It's
Either
still
is
really,
Maven,
really
now
good.
That I think about it, but
it is.
Yeah, it is still really good. I just like coffee because it's caffeine. I'm not. You know, Abigail probably likes it because she was a.
Well, she was fancy.
She was a barista.
Yeah.
You know, do you know in
were
England,
you a barista?
I was for like 4 years.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Do you know in London that would make you'd be in the court system?
What?
That's a barista.
That's a barrister.
Yeah, but you say it barista.
Yeah, well, it's not a barista. She wouldn't be trying someone, okay, because she could make a pot of coffee, okay?
But it's similar.
No.
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure it's
not as much.
A barrister.
He's also got his coffee and all the different, like, espresso martinis.
I feel so much better that I don't drink coffee anymore. You need to wean yourself.
I know. I really do. You know, yesterday I woke up out of my hardcore medicines they gave me because I had to have an ablation yesterday. And I don't know. It was like 12:30 or 1. I don't even know what time it was. And I felt terrible. And I realized, oh. I haven't had coffee today, and I've got a physical
addiction.
So the
doctor said you could have
I had headaches. Yes. They brought me iced coffee. I drank it. I felt better in 30 minutes.
That's a bad thing.
No, it's a terrible thing.
You know
so you don't drink coffee at all.
I don't drink coffee at all. You know what's a great thing? Chastang Ford. That's a great thing. Chastang Ford is where you get your Ford on. Get your Sport, your Bronco Sport, okay, $299 a month lease. This is a perfect, perfect starter car. For him or her. How old are they? This Bronco Sport is a great way. And lease it so that it's after 3 years, you know, who knows where we're going to want it. They're older, whatever. But you get out of it after 3 years. It's perfect. It doesn't get any better for a $299 lease, okay? That's a great way to start your kid with a car. And it's a great car. And it's a new car, okay? So, I mean, it just doesn't – this is – if you're sitting in the car right now thinking, how am I going to do this? Well, this is the way to do it. Go to Chastang Ford. Get there in a hurry and take advantage of $299 a month. And your kid is going to love it. Kid's going to have wheels. It's a great little car. Great little car. But you also got XLTs with – I mean, it's deal after deal after deal. XLTs with $4,500 off. You got the Ford Rewards where it's complimentary service on new vehicles. It's deal after deal after deal after deal that Chastain Ford. They're going to work their tail off to get you the best deal that you could possibly get every time with no add-ons, no markups. It's not the way they do business. I love Chastain Ford. You'll love Chastain Ford, too. If you're looking for a vehicle, new or pre-owned, they got them on the lot as well. Whatever you want, whatever you need, one place to go, ChastainFord.com. On 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.